on this episode of Rebel Spirit Radio.
The way that I use sound is that I'm trying to match what that sound is, what that shape is in the body.
Okay.
Which means I'm trying to, my intention is to match it. My intention is to give the information to that place that I'm wanting to listen to better, that I am in total acceptance of exactly how it is. Not, I'm going to come in here and we're going to fix you. You've got a problem. So that's not where I'm looking at. It's like, let's match what is there, because I don't know how it needs to be fixed. You know, I may know that I want to feel better or I want to feel different, but the truth is I want to actually trust and keep giving that experience of trust that there is an inherent wisdom in this body of mine, in that body of yours. And that's what I'm wanting to communicate with. So I want to just match what the body is saying, feeling, its movement, its rhythm. Because by matching, then there becomes alchemy, you know, starts happening. It's like, if I don't resist what's there, if I match what is there, then what is there can actually have the ability to shift or change.
Welcome to Rebel Spirit Radio, exploring the frontiers of spirituality, consciousness, the esoteric, and humanity's sacred relationship with a living earth.
I'm your host, Nick Mather, and in this episode, I am joined by sound healing therapist and author, Vicki Dodd, to discuss her book, Healing Through Sound, Awakening Your Audible Body. Vicki explains the connection between sound and healing, how reclaiming your voice is to reclaim your power, the soothing power of humming, the importance of loving ourselves, and using our voice to bring ourselves home. Also, please be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use to listen to or view podcasts. Your support is truly appreciated. Vicki Dodd, MA, has been a sound healing therapist, body worker, workshop leader, and internationally recognized pioneer of healing through sound for more than 50 years. She collaborated with Don Campbell in the Institute of Music and Health Education in Boulder, Colorado, and has created sound school trainings around the world. Vicki offers residential retreats on sound at the Nature Bridge campus in Olympic National Park and is an adjunct faculty member at the Globe Institute in San Francisco. She joins me today to discuss her book, Healing Through Sound, Awakening Your Audible Body. Vicki, welcome to Rebel Spirit Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're here with me. I've read your book and I've got questions. I have questions. So healing through sound, I thought the first place to start would be to ask you what you mean by sound, because early in the book, it's more than just what we hear with our ears, it seems. So what do you mean by sound? Let's start with that.
Yeah, I think I actually put a little piece in the book later on. It's like, I wish I had never started using the word sound. Because when I started in the 60s working with my voice, I was trying to match the color, the frequency, the shape, the geometry, you know, of what I was perceiving. And so I just started calling it sound. I'm going to give a sounding. So then everyone, of course, reasonably interpreted that as something they could hear.
Right.
You know, and yeah, so I really do regret that, but it's there now and it's not going to change. And everybody calls it sound, and but it's all the senses. It's perceiving from all the senses, and it's training and engaging and seeing what is the sense that I perceive from, you know, how do I perceive? So, because people would say, well, I don't hear anything, you know, and then all of a sudden they're feeling like they don't know how to do it. And it's like, no, you know, basically we want to learn how is it that we perceive the world, you know, and start trusting that, letting that become the teacher.
Okay. Well, I'm curious if with the use of the term sound, You just said that you wish you had used a different term. Do you have an idea of a term that you might use instead?
I don't know now, because it's basically, listening probably.
Yeah.
And again, that's we start thinking listening has gotten me into trouble as well, because we keep thinking that listening is about what we hear and perceive. How do we perceive? There's a lot of wonderful words, but I don't know what I would use now. It's been so long, but I do wish I hadn't have gotten stuck with sound, because it limits a lot of people.
Okay. All right.
Belief in themselves.
Okay. Well, we'll still use sound as we
Oh yeah,
talk
we
today.
will. We're not going to change that today.
And listening as well. But I'm curious, what is the connection between sound and healing?
What is the connection between sound and healing? I don't see how they can be separated in many ways, in terms of consciously using our voice or music for healing. We've always used music for healing, haven't we? I mean, in every culture, in every way, in every form. And yeah, I don't know how I would actually separate it in any way. So again, goes back to so much of it is listening. Let me listen to the rhythm of that emotion. Let me listen to the rhythm. Where do I feel it in my body? How does it constrict me? Does it expand me? These are suggestions that start revealing themselves when we hear sound. We don't have to like, do I like it or do I not? It's going to affect us. We are a liquid system. And that is a very important piece of it, Nick, is that we are liquid. And so we respond and are influenced by sound, any kind of sound. That's why we have to be careful. Well, I have to be careful, because certain sounds can really be very disruptive to me. For a lot of us, we have turned it off because the sound, there's no way, just we have to just turn it off. I don't hear it, it's our surviving tools,
Yeah, one of the things that just popped into my mind when you were speaking was that the turning of the off, turning off the sounds, that there is this reality of sound pollution, that we live in these environments where we're just bombarded with different sounds all the time.
Yes, and it shapes us. It leaves imprints in us, and basically trying to fight it off is just as much injury to us as the sound would be. Yeah, so there is a lot of sound pollution, and so people are doing all kinds of things. They've got other sounds in their ears coming in. So as much as possible, learning, being able to create even in our homes. I mean, I'm fortunate where I live, but I have lived in very noisy places as well. And people put earplugs in. They have to do all kinds of other things. They're putting other sounds in so they can't hear the sounds that they're
Right.
trying, So yeah, if you can be in any kind of a quiet place, you are a most fortunate place person. You can get into just nature sounds, or you're very fortunate, but a lot of us can't and won't be able to do that.
Right. Right.
So being able to use our own voices, our own imagery, to keep a gentleness flow in our for our nervous system, because basically we're looking at sound as medicine, and how we can work with our own bodies, and also becoming aware of how certain sounds can be quite injurious to our health. And I mean, that leaf blower,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can create violence. They can create violence.
I think that is an excellent example, because whenever I hear a leaf blower, I just start feeling enraged.
Yes. I mean, really, I'm surprised that we don't see on the news, leaf blower was attacked, by neighbors. Because it is a very mean, violent, to me, sound for the nervous system.
I think that's an excellent example, though, of how it can affect our bodies. I mean, just that emotional response of rage,
Yeah.
you know, and that has an effect on the body, like a chemical effect on the body as
Oh,
well.
yes, it changes our chemistry. It absolutely changes our chemistry. Our adrenals go up. I mean, everything's like fight or
Yeah,
flight. You know, I've got
right.
to kill this person. I've got to get out of here. I've got to escape. I'm not safe. I mean, it brings up all kinds of possibilities according
Yeah.
to who one is.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that one's very relatable. And the other thing that kind of came to my mind early on was when I asked you know, what you meant by sound, is that, and I'll give a personal example. I like shamanic drumming, and I've got recordings of the drums, and I really haven't had good experience with that. And I recently attended a workshop where I made my own drum. And when I first learned the sort of shamanic journeying techniques, you know, they had real drummers. And I noticed early on when I had my drum and I was doing it myself, it wasn't just the sound of the drum, but I could feel the vibration of it.
Yeah, it was moving you.
Yeah.
It was moving you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the is one way of thinking about the sound in terms of like vibration.
Yes, absolutely, totally. I mean, I think that's about the only thing I really focus on for myself is it's the vibration of it. It's the resonance of it. It's how it moves my liquid, you know.
Yeah.
I've been a body worker for most of my life in some way or another. I love the human form, and sound is a beautiful medium for it because it moves the liquid. It moves our liquid.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I want to be very, so it becomes more and more important what sounds I make. Sorry about that. What sounds I make. There's a sound right there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing though, those sounds can completely distract. Where was I at? What am I saying now? It's amazing. Oh boy, the world comes in different ways. So maybe we'll begin again in another way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't I was just talking about the drumming and the vibrations and how I could feel it in my body, and it wasn't just the audible sound, but there was that sense of it kind of
Moving you.
getting into the body.
Yeah, moving you, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you use sound in the body work?
Well, again, it's liquid. Our bodies are what, 70 to 80% liquid. Now that may seem like yeah. That's very important. It's like just what you're talking about. When you're drumming, you start feeling this your liquid being moved. Pulsing, rearranging, shaping you. It starts shaping you. You know, this is why sound is so important because it's a shaper. It's very important what I'm listening to. It's very important the words I come out of my mouth. Yeah, so I think liquid is a very, very important ingredient for us to recognize how easily influenced we are by our words, by others' words, by others' feelings, by our feelings. We are so it all those spiritual teachers that we have read throughout the years, they're as we age into our maturing, I think spiritually, we start being more and more understanding of the power of sound, the power of our intentions, the power of our words actually affect us. Lick our liquid. If it affects my liquid, it's going to affect my nervous system. It's going to affect every aspect of my being. It's not just a lightweight thing. It's not just a good idea. It is so literal. That's why I love the physical form, because it's not confused. It doesn't analyze. It just knows it feels good. It doesn't feel good. It moves me here. It doesn't move me there. That's the beauty of listening to this physical body. And so when you're drumming, it starts, you know, being able to go, that rhythm is starting to be able to go wherever it can get through, wherever you're willing or able to let it resonate you. And you start to being able to start learning also where I don't have the ability, where I am. So it also starts teaching us where there's not enough resonance. You know, where do I need more? You know, how do I open that up? How do I invite frequency, resonance into that area of my body? I don't know if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, kind of. I am looking for, I guess, in a sense, an example. And I'm trying to make sure that I understand everything. So if I understand correctly, I think that with our bodies, we hold a lot within our bodies. We hold a lot of trauma in our bodies. And that can affect the energetic flow of things.
It will. Absolutely.
And what you're doing is in the sound healing is you're using sound to kind of free up those energetic blocks.
Okay.
Is that correct?
The way that I use sound is that I'm trying to match what that sound is, what that shape is in the body.
Okay.
Which means I'm trying to, my intention is to match it. My intention is to give the information to that place that I'm wanting to listen to better, that I am in total acceptance of exactly how it is. Not, I'm going to come in here and we're going to fix you. You've got a problem. So that's not where I'm looking at. It's like, let's match what is there because I don't know how it needs to be fixed. You know, I may know that I want to feel better or I want to feel different, but the truth is I want to actually trust and keep giving that experience of trust that there is an inherent wisdom in this body of mine and that body of yours. And that's what I'm wanting to communicate with. So I want to just match what the body is saying, feeling, its movement, its rhythm. Because by matching, then there becomes alchemy, you know, starts happening. It's like if I don't resist what's there, if I match what is there, then what is there can actually have the ability to shift or change. It's almost like if you've spent much time with children, it's like if I am not in judgment of what they're doing can change. But if I'm judging it, it's
right.
Like it amplifies it. It gets more, but you know, but it's a matching. We love to be matched. We need to be matched. It's, matching would be saying, you hear me. Oh, I feel heard. You know, you're not trying to change me. And so it's the same with the sound for me with the body. It's like, let me just match what is there. But let me match the rhythm of it instead of like, oh, you need to be this way, not this way, you know. So it's like on a psychological level, I don't feel like I did something wrong. I'm okay as I am. Because that's basically what we're wanting to do, I think, in the healing modality is saying, you're fine how you are. Let's see if you want to do anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially when thinking about working with traumas that are stored in the body, that if, because I think they want to be heard. They want to be acknowledged. They want to be felt. And if you are like, no, I'm going in, I'm going to dissolve you and get rid of you, then that tension in the body is probably going to become even worse.
Yeah. I agree completely. I've worked a lot with people in trauma. I spent many years in Chicago, actually, working with Coalition Against Sexual Assault. So all these women, mainly women, there were a few men that had been, you know, raped, abused badly. And, you know, and how to listen again.
Yeah.
You know, not coming in, I'm going to fix you. You know, I think I even talk about one example in the book where I couldn't get closer than like 4 or 5 feet from the body.
Right.
Longest time. And just, so we need to respect how close can I come in with our, you know, energy, with our wanting, oh, let me help you.
Right.
I really want to help you, you know, and that's beautiful, but I need to listen. Is that the help that's needed? Are they already full?
Okay. Now, are you giving people the tools then to, and I'm using tools not in a physical way, like a hammer or nail, but the tools in terms of sound that they can actually leave and then work on themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's been from the beginning of teaching other people to use their voices. I used to teach workshops, I don't know, decades and decades ago called, claiming your voice, reclaiming your voice, And because that's one of the first many ways that we lose our power is we lose our voice, So being able to start reclaiming it, especially for someone who's been traumatized, and not to indulge it, not to indulge the trauma, but not to say, "Oh, come on now, you're going to feel better. Let's take you into healing." It's a pathway. So we're starting to be able to truly listen to what, how does it wind up through, wound and around inside the body, inside the emotional field, and follow the pathway. And so I have to get quiet. I have to become willing to not know. I've been working with people for many decades, and so the and I know other people have as well. And so one of the things that I think that we have to do is to always have that beginner's mind, let me not know. I don't know what that body wants to show me or needs. Just because I have all these different tools and I think that it may not be the timing.
And so what you're doing then when you're working with someone in a healing modality is you're listening to them. You're listening to their bodies.
Yeah, it's always listening. Sound is just a front.
Well, and it seems on another level, I was actually thinking about this in terms of listening and kind of taking it in a different direction in a sense, but it seems like so many of our social ills right now are based on we're not listening. We're not listening and we're not hearing. And one of the techniques, I've been a college professor for like 20 years now, and one of the things I teach logic and I teach critical thinking, and this is the art of argumentation. And what I teach students is that one of the most important things that you can do is to listen. And you can always see this is when people get into these debates that we're often not listening to what the other person has to say. We're trying to formulate our own answers. And that, I think, is one of the key places that all of these tensions, these social tensions reside, because we're not listening to each other.
I'm in total agreement there. But that's happening all the time, isn't it? I can hardly wait for you to stop talking so I can tell you what I want to say. I mean, it's, you know, so there's an honesty that we have to get to with ourselves. Am I willing to listen? Or if I just want to tell you, but am I willing to listen? And this is a, so this is sort of where we are as a people. It's like learning again how to just listen and take the time to listen. After you speak, I could actually pause and just, I don't know what I need to say instead of preparing what I'm going to say. But that's almost how it's becomes like I got to be, so I don't have time to listen because I got to be ready to speak, It's so contraindicated.
And well, it's a difficult skill to learn, because I try to do that in the podcast here. I always tell people, it's like, I do not have a list of questions written out. I want this to be conversational, but it's also, trying to listen to what my guest says, and then also then trying to, push the conversation further and kind of respond. And it's tricky. It's very difficult to do,
Very tricky. I can appreciate that position. I mean, that would be very tricky, especially when sometimes it's just we just need a pause. In that pause, something comes up, huh?
Absolutely. And I also think that it's so important in terms of you write a little bit in the book about getting quiet and the value of that. And what came to my mind when I was reading this was, again, not just audible sounds, but in meditation traditions, the way that it's usually phrased is you need to quiet your mind, that there's all this chatter going on. And part of what we have to do is quiet that and listen to the silence.
Yeah. And that is a lifetime practice for me anyway. You know, it I mean quietening, you know, getting quiet, being able to listen. I mean, I just feel fortunate that I've been in this field for so long that it's part of my journey. Because it is, you know, it's not like, well, I've got that now. You know, I've listened already. No, it's a daily work.
Well, I know this may seem a little bit misplaced in the conversation, but I think that it would be good to ask you now to talk about this journey. What led you to this practice of sound healing?
Well, I think it was always there. I could always perceive frequencies or rhythms, you know, from everything around me. People were the hardest, not to perceive, but nature was the gentlest and kindest for me as a child. I spent a lot of time sitting in trees, you know. I'm from way down. Well, anyway, I'm from a place where you could be outside a lot, and in trees a lot. And so I'd have the clubhouse like inside of a tree, and meet with my friends up there, and sitting and leaning against those trees for years started shaping me. I was a dancer. My mother got me some tap shoes when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And that saved my blooming life at that time because I could tap the rhythms of the emotions around me. Because you know, I lived in a real extended family. I mean, there was grandmas and uncles and aunts and da-da-da-da-da passing through. There was always pallets on the floor. There was just a lot of people. And that creates in itself a quite a, come what do you say, it's a lot of sound. A lot of sound, and a lot of them were sort of musicians, so that was some good sound and singers, and so I was at least filled with that, but also a lot of arguments and a lot of challenges and a lot of not enough room and not enough, right? So it was all in there, and it became quite a soundscape, and I'm grateful for all of that. I'm grateful that there weren't all these doors, because as I got older and in this field. And being around people that did not live that closely together. I think I write a piece called No Doors. I come from No Doors. Is that they didn't know that their parents were getting divorced until the parents came in and said, "We're getting divorced." It's like that would never happen if you had no doors. You would know that there's problems in the house. That's just an example, I mean, of how separate we can become living together. We don't know what's going on, and so it becomes as a shock. Instead of it's like being able to move through and get adjusted through the months or time. I don't know why I went on to that one, but because I didn't come from that, but I did come from a lot of noise because I came from a lot of people. So that was the part of the journey, I guess, was like learning to tap dance at that time. Let me tap the rhythms of all these emotions around me. And thank goodness, because it allowed a way that I could feel all this outrageousness, actually, but I was able to just keep moving it, tapping it, yo, you know. And so, this is why I'm so grateful when children are in school bands or getting taking le or doing something, you know, doing something to be able to move that which is unexpressed. That which cannot know how to express, don't have the freedom to express it. Let me have the arts. Let me bring in the arts. You know, I'm so glad to see more and more people drumming, just drumming. You know, like but yeah, I was very saddened. I think it was in the late 80s when there wasn't money for the arts in the Chicago schools, and they started removing music and sports. I mean. That's, see, there's an illness about that, you know, a meanness, That, I mean, that runs through something that it's like, why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? Because music has always been, singing has always been a way of expressing emotions that cannot be expressed.
And music is healing, I mean, in
Oh,
so many ways,
on so many ways. Exactly. And we all know that. Don't we? On some level, we all know that. We'll put on songs to change our mood. We'll put on songs to house clean. We'll put on songs because I need to cry. We'll put on, we use music to for our emotional health, let alone our, if I get my emotional health feeling better, the other bodies are going to follow as well. But yes, we know a lot about music. Yeah, we really do.
So music is part of the healing modality. And I wanted to ask, what else? You talk about the hum a lot that runs, that kind of runs through the book. And is that just what it sounds like? A internal hum from the individual?
And a lot of, and I come from that sound just in conversation. People go, hum,
Yeah, like
hum.
I just did.
Exactly. I mean, it's in our languaging all over the place. And so it's a beautiful, easy, effortless sound. And you can get people humming that say, oh, I can't sing. I don't know anything about singing. People say that a little bit less than when I first began this work. They're more willing to voice themselves now than they were 50 years ago. But it's still there. It's like, oh, I can't sing. So you go, well, we're not singing, we're sounding. I bet you can hum. And so like humming, this nervous system of ours needs a lot of humming. And if we've never tried it, just giving it a try. I mean, just so hum, hum, hum. I mean, it soothes. Our body loves the sound of our voice, loving on it, soothing it. And the hum, and you can do it, you can image it. See, you can image sound. I don't even have to make it out loud. I would sit with clients at different times, and you may know this in your work. I'd sit with clients, and I'm like, I'm kind of terrified of them. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I'm not supposed to know. I'm supposed to know something that I don't know, right? And but I can sit there as I and so when I'm thinking that, I can't listen, right? I can't really listen. I can't get into my body. And I'm not telling them that because they're thinking I can help them. And it's like, so I hope I'm not giving trade secrets, but I mean, I do think that this is just a human experience. We put people in different positions, but we're just human. And we have good days, we have bad days, we have days that we're brilliant. But I could start in my listening, I could start letting that hum be silent in me. So I could actually get present with that person of what they're actually saying instead of being so involved in myself. So I could actually get onto that chair because I need and want to hear what they're saying, but I've got to get here. And so I could image that hum going on. And yeah. And so before you know it, I'm present. I'm present and I'm remembering something. And people know if we're present with them. They start becoming more and more willing to, they may not know, we may not know it in those words, but I think we know a great deal.
Well, I like the idea or what you said in terms of the hum being calming. And there was another sound that you discuss in the book, which makes total sense. And it's the shh. And I thought, that's a really good, I wish I had known that a few years ago. I have a anxiety disorder and it's a lot better now. When I was working on my dissertation, off the charts. And it seemed to me that that actually would have been a really good technique to just sit with myself when I would feel that anxiety and those toxins going through the system, but to just kind of like hold myself and shh,
It's okay, honey. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Shh. You know, yeah, it's a very soothing. I think I tell also tell a story of someone who'd been an incredible traumatic experience, and that all I could do was that sound.
Right.
Shh. You know, yeah, it's going to be all right. You're
Yeah.
going to be all right. You come on home now. Come home, you know, being able to get back into the breath. Yeah, I spent many years working with people that had been very traumatized, and they're the ones, their bodies taught me that, you know, it wasn't going to teach me to go, oh, yeah, who am I not, you know,
Yeah.
you know, and then teaching them to go, you know, it's soothing to us. You know, I've only known one person that wasn't soothing for because they had a, another experience of that sound for them that was traumatic. You know, so you never know, not everything, you know,
Right.
but for most of us,
Right.
it is a soothing way. And especially if we can use our hands at the same time and just finding a nice little, you know,
Yeah.
loving on ourselves, parenting ourselves, I think we call it, you know, the newer age psychology of stuff is like, just let me just love on this body. Teach me how to love you. Teach me. You know, I'm scared right now. I don't know. Help me come home. You know, so if we could just have permission, or if I can just, you know, in that book, I'm just trying to give people permission just to talk to themselves. You know, loving on themselves and using their voice to bring themselves home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and it seems to me that, you know, I talk to myself all the time, but it's that monkey mind. You know, I'm car always carrying on conversations, and sometimes I refer to it as the narrator. But I think what you're referring to is a different kind of talking to ourselves. You want to quiet that and talk to the actual body.
And sometimes that's beautiful. And I use sound often to quiet that monkey mind because we've all got one.
Right.
And so that's where I just do that chaotic sounding. Just doing that.
Yeah.
You know, not trying to make any sense of it, not analyzing it. Just giving it expression. It's called, I call it emptying in the book. Let me just
Right.
empty.
Right. Yeah,
You
that
know?
sounds like speaking in tongues,
Well,
what you're
you
doing
know,
there.
I know that that's what people have been saying for 50
Yeah.
years. I don't know a thing about speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
I do know the chatter in my head.
Yeah.
And if that's speaking in tongues, then let me speak that. So let me match it. So I
Right.
may be trying to match the rhythm of it or
Yeah.
match the emotional shaping of it. I'm
Yeah.
not trying to speak in tongues. I
Right.
don't,
Right.
but I have been heard that many times, and I'm so sorry about that because it kind of puts it down, you know, it dismisses it in instead of like I'm just trying to match that chatter, you
Right.
know, the same monkey mind. Well, what do you think it sounds like? You know, I mean, it
Yeah.
sounds sort of, or sounds like several voices at the same time, you know, and I especially. I think the difference is that I'm trying to take it out of the words. There's hardly any escape once it gets into the words. So I'm trying to get those words messy. And so that's what it sounds like for me when I do it. It'll sound different for you. So I know it sounds like what you said, the monkey mind and all that, but let me get the words. Let me take the edges off the words. Let me round them so they're more digestible. You know? I hard to digest words. I've worked a lot with abuse, people in lots of trauma and abuse for a good decade in Chicago, and learned so much about physical abuse is almost easier than verbal abuse. Those words get stuck in the tissue. They get stuck in the blah, blah, blah. I can bring them up anytime and suffer through it again. So it's like learning to use our sound. To round off to round off those words, dissolve some of those words so it can come back into liquid, to my liquid system. It's so important how we speak to ourselves and how we speak to others,
Yeah.
you know. So we can use our sound to help dissolve some of those words or help them get liquid. And
Right.
it's a life process,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah. We often aren't very kind to ourselves.
Oh my goodness gracious, who needs an enemy?
Right.
You know, And yeah, so it takes a lot of practice and a lot of willingness to teach me. That's why I sound probably simplistic, you know, and I am actually, because it's so blooming complex, this living. So I have to get very simplistic, like teach me, talking to myself, teach me how to love this being. I do not know how. Teach me. Help me become willing. Teach me. Help me, you know, I've written, cheap notebooks are wonderful. Thousands and thousands of cheap notebooks, 100, I don't know, I exaggerate, but lots of cheap notebooks, you know, writing, please teach me how to love this being. I do not know how. Talking to those different aspects of myself. You know, yeah, getting honest. Sound makes us honest. In my first book, I write a lot about how sound can make us honest, you know, and yeah, because our body knows if we're just, if our body knows,
right,
you know, so let me not judge all my different feelings. Let me teach me how to love. Teach me how to love my, you know, teach me how to unconditionally love this being, warts and all.
Yeah. Now, is that, you've mentioned remembering before. And one of the lines I have written out from your book is, the first teaching sound revealed to me was that sounding helps us to remember. Is that what we have to remember, to love ourselves, or is there something else we have to remember?
I think that's a big piece of it. Teach me how to love, help me remember how to love. Help me to remember that I belong here. Help me remember that I'm a part of. Help me remember that, you know, help me remember what is important this life. Help me remember, because it can get clouded over with all kinds of other things. You know, help me remember that part of why I am here is to get connected to something greater, whatever that might mean, you know. Not even speaking religiously, but, you know, right. Spiritually, I think it's a spiritual path. For me, anyway, sound is a spiritual path. Help me remember. Help me get, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
I think great. I think in my first book, I talk about a whole thing on remembering. I wish I had a copy of it right here so I could read it. It's like part of the greatest pain is knowing that I'm not remembering what I used to know, you know, and trying to capture that remembering again. So, you know, this is why it's so important, I think, that we empty, so important that we have some form of a reflection, meditation, whatever practice, because it's about, let me keep remembering, what is my focus? What is my life journey? You know, what is my purpose? You know, you know, how to love this being, because if I can love this being, I can love this other being, I can love other, you know, I can treat other people kindly. Help me remember, how do I be kind? You know, maybe some people just have that simply. It's a daily work for me. You know, I can forget how to be kind to me. You know, it's, and yeah, and what do I even mean by being kind? It's like, how do I talk to myself? You know, how much pressure did I put on myself about needing to get all this done, or needing to be this, or needing to be different than I am? You know, that thing of needing to be different than I am is very harmful, not very loving to myself. You know, can I accept myself exactly as I am today, warts and all? And, you know, some days that's easier than others. That doesn't, you know... You know,
right.
That's just the reality of it. And so then I need humor. I need a lot of humor.
Yeah.
About my human condition.
Yeah. Well, and laughter seems to be its own kind of sound, right?
Laughter is one of the finest. Laughter is one of the finest. And because it changes everything. Changes everything. I'm so grateful that I was raised with a lot of laughter, a lot of violence, and a lot of laughter. They sometimes go together. A lot of pain, a lot, you know, expression. But that laughter, see, it gets that diaphragm going. It gets the juices moving. You know, I mean, there was nothing better as a child growing up to watch the adults and everybody laugh until it made you pee, we used to say, you know. No, because it's such a bodily thing. Or cry. Laugh until I cried, you know. But it gets the juices rolling and moving. Right. You know? Yeah. So sometimes we have to fake laughter, you know. One of the first people I ever knew that was doing sound was a man named William David down in Houston, Texas. I think he started the first sound school in 58 or something like that, 1958. And he's the one that started teaching us young ones in the 60s about how he was using sound and bringing forth all these, you know, old esoteric teachings, because sound has always been a form of spiritual. Yeah. And in every culture, and especially, well, not especially, but for sure in the East and the Orient. And everyone's always known, in all of the old metaphysical schools, have always known that the solar plexus was this incredible load of information, and that it gets congested in our little solar plexus, in our diaphragm area. And so, so much of the martial arts focuses on, you know, getting that movement, because our sound massages those organs, massages that space. So our voice is such a healing modality. But let me keep opening that, and nothing like acting like laughter. You know, it may seem like I'm putting it on, but it starts. It start, you know, we've been with people in laughing workshops, or just in someone will go, ha, 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 and then we start going, ha, 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 and before you know it, we're going, ha, 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 and then it's real, you know? I mean, it's contagious.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, and so often these days, these years, I lament because I'm not around people that laugh much any longer. Yeah. We might smile, you know, a little grin here or there, you know, but just, you know, laugh until we're crying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Get the juices rolling.
Right. Yeah. I remember my grandmother, she would hate me saying this, but I remember she laughed until she peed a couple times.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know,
I also wanted to ask, because the sounds that you've been talking about and using to illustrate are from your own voice. Do you use anything else for the sound? You know, we mentioned drums, but I know like the singing bowls are very popular now. And there are a lot of different ways of generating sound.
There are. No, I use voice.
Okay.
But there's so many, many ways. I think though that the voice is so blooming honest. Mm. You know, I can make something sound good. And that's wonderful. We love music. I love music. You know, and I have instruments all over the house. But if I want to move my emotion, I mean, it's not one or the other. I'll take it's not one or the other, but the voice is going to get my breath going. The voice is going to actually start revealing what's really going on this day. You know, we were talking earlier that we kind of both are a little bit tired today. Well, my voice, you can hear it in my voice.
Right.
You know, it's there. You know, maybe it's the eclipse. I don't know. It's starting to darken right now. So I think that it's in this area of the world, it's starting to happen, you know, that we're noticing it. So these affect us, you know, how much sleep we had, how this, it all affects us. So sounding, I want to sound that. I'm not going to try to change how I am. I'm going to let myself accept exactly where I am with my voice. But all the, you know, most of the people I know are that I've worked with sound and in terms of theater, in terms of performance, they're brilliant musicians. I if I have another life that I can make a choice about, I'd love to come in as a brilliant musician where I could just pick up an instrument and play. It's like, oh, that's not my gift. I can play my body. I can play just about anyone else's body as an instrument.
I know that we're starting to run out of time, but I have a couple of other questions for you before we go that I wanted to ask what you meant by these things. One is you wrote about soul signatures. You also kind of described them as being the sound prints of each person. And I was wondering if you could say something more about that, maybe explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, trying to basically not trying to make a nice sound, not trying to make a perfect sound or what we think a healing sound is. So our soul signature, one of the ways that we used to teach it decades ago was just taking our name and letting it spiral and spin throughout this body and coming into a tone. It's not a fixed piece. It's not like, well, that's, it changes through time and it changes, but it's still going to have the resonance of ourselves. It's always going to have me in it, regardless of what decade it is. So part of it is that speaking voice. It's sounding is not about how good your chops are, for me, when I talk about sounding. Because I'm not coming from being a musician and I'm not coming from being a singer. I'm wanting to be able to my own healing for my body or for someone else's is to be in acceptance with whatever that sound is. And I'm not going to be able to get that with it for me. I'm not going to be able to get that with an instrument because I with an instrument I can make it all kinds of ways, which is absolutely wonderful. But for my own laboratory, I and for my own honesty of exploration, for me, I use the voice, my voice. So today I can know exactly, I mean, I can hear it, but we could change it. I could change this by actually having had the time to have done my own sound work. Like of being able to take this sound right now. And I could continue that for another few seconds or minutes, and it starts changing me. It starts grounding me, right? It starts rearranging. I'm a liquid system,
Yeah.
and I think that for more and more of us to remember how easily we change
Right.
because we're liquid. Just
Right.
because we're liquid, we're
Yeah.
changeable,
Yeah.
which is a beautiful asset.
Yeah. Now, when you were doing that, I'm going to ask a question here that is a little bit beyond what you wrote in the book. We can let this be the last question, I suppose. But when you were just making those sounds, what it reminded me of was some of the chanting of Buddhist monks. And I had thought earlier when you were talking about spirituality that, especially in the East, that that is sound is incredibly important. And the most recognizable one that I think everyone is familiar with is Om, right? And I know that in classes, when I teach Asian religious traditions and I talk about Om, Om is the sound of the universe. And it's not just, like I've been saying it, Om, that's not what it is. Joseph Campbell once described it as when you do Om, it's like you start with your mouth closed and it's kind of demonstrating the creation of the universe in a sense. And it's, you start with your mouth closed and then it gets really big and wide and then it closes down. So it's not Om, but it's more like a Aum. And the question that came to mind was, as part of the healing, would it be to put ourselves in a vibrational connection with the sound of the universe? If that makes sense.
Would it be? Say that
Well,
again.
I'm talking about the healing that if we know that, from the Asian traditions, the Om is the sound of the universe. It seems that that would be the sound of spirit, but it's also the sound of matter in some ways. And I was wondering if healing would incorporate putting ourselves in this sort of, and I'm not sure the word to use, but it's like when you have two tuning forks, how they'll vibrate together eventually. If that's part of the healing, is putting ourselves in alignment with the sound of the universe.
That's a beautiful question or beautiful, yeah. Very likely. Very likely. First, I want to start with me. Let me tune this body.
Right.
Let me get attuned.
Yeah.
And our hum or the om, and the hum is the om, right? I mean, like you just said, and it's ancient. It's ancient. So it is a, it is a, it, it we all gravitate towards it, you know. I wasn't raised in a spiritual thing, Eastern spirituality at all. I was, but I was raised with people humming, always humming, humming a tune in your head, humming a, so I say hum the whole body. But that sound is so liquid. It's so easily, I think one of the reasons that, I don't know, that it is so powerful is that it enters so easily and so effortlessly. I don't need to know a whole lot. I don't need to be a musician. I don't need to be a singer. I don't need to know the words, but I can hum. It can bring me into resonance so quickly. It can helps me start remembering. It can align us faster than anything I know. It can help me feel connected inside with you, with the earth, immediately. It is a treasure. It loves us. It loves us. And I don't have to fight it. I don't have to know anything. I don't have to be a singer. I don't have, I can just go, I can just keep that going. And it starts creating a resonance in me. It starts waking up. It starts waking up that which has fallen asleep, waking up that which can't remember any longer, waking up, making me feel a part of. And it goes right down this spine, feeds all of my nervous system. It relaxes. It's just such a beautiful sound.
Yeah. And
It's
that's what
just,
you mean by sound having a nutritional component that it
yes.
kind of
Oh,
feeds us.
yes. It's a de-stressor. It's a vitamin B. Yes, it's like vitamin B, seriously. And yeah. I have nothing but the greatest respect for sound.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I know that we are at the end of our time together. So let me ask you the final two questions that I always ask. One is, what do you have coming up next? What are you working on next? And where can people go to find out more about you and your work?
Well, what I'm working on right now, which is what you and I are doing together, is this wonderful new book that is coming out, Healing Through Sound. And it's everything that I know about sound of the last 50, 60 years. I made it simple, demystified it. I don't think that we need to create mystery. I think there's plenty of it. And I wanted it to be just simple. I'm writing another book, but it has nothing to do with what, I don't know what it's going to go into. It's about sort of about where I'm from, women and where I'm from. And I'm always teaching. I teach online. I'm going to start a new training online probably in the next 2 months. It's been very busy with this book coming out. I had no idea it was going to be so busy. I'm so grateful, but it has distracted me from creating other things. Let's see, what else? What else did you ask? I'm always writing.
Yeah. No, the other question was, where can people go to find out more about you? The classes, maybe?
Yes, that's a good. So my I have a website, www sacred sound works, one word, sacredsoundworks.com. And also just vickidodd@gmail.com for anyone that just would. I love hearing from people. I like to be in connection. I don't like to be too, I like to be connecting with the people. And I like to be, I do private sessions, I've been doing private sessions for many, many years, at least 30 years, just on the phone and sounding people on the phone. I don't need to see people to sound their bodies. And actually, sometimes it's more accurate. So I love doing that. So people can get a hold of me in that way for an appointment.
Okay, wonderful.
I'll be traveling with this book. I'll be in Chicago, Evanston. I'll be down in Berkeley, probably out in Denver, Boulder.
Right.
Yeah, so that'll be listed on my website calendar in that way. But I'm so grateful for this opportunity today. It's been a real pleasure being with you.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it as well. And so I'll make sure I'll put a link for your website in the show notes and video description, but I'll also put in links for the book as well.
Well, that would be great. Thank
you. So that people can find it quite easily.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for this book, Nick. It came out so, again, it's teachable. It's teaching people how to demystify it as well. So I, you know, open up in our own voices.
Yeah.
Our body loves the sound of our voice.
Yeah.
Loving on it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And I think the advice of loving ourselves more is really important.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that it works so effortlessly, actually.
Right. All right. Well, Vicki, I know we're recording this on the day and hour of the eclipse.
We are. Believe that.
So it'll be out several weeks from now, but I know we're at the end of our time. So I'm going to let you go so we can both go out and stare safely at the sun.
Sun. Yeah. What a timing. What a timing, you know. So, well, blessed be. Thank you for everything.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it so very much.
May you stay well. Blessed be. Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap on episode 137 of Rebel Spirit Radio. Thank you so much for listening or watching if you're a part of my YouTube audience. Now, you know what's coming up next, right? All the usual. Sign up for my Patreon, share this with friends and family, coworkers, and share it on social media too. And please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you use to listen to or view podcasts. You know the grind. But here's the thing, all of that is really important. Putting together this podcast is a labor of love. I'm in the process of making changes to improve the podcast and the YouTube channel. It is very slow going. But your support will help me speed up the process and ensure that I can continue with the podcast and offer much more content than what I do now. As I always like to say, I'm here in the Front Range doing missionary work in regards to religion, spirituality and ecology, psychedelics and consciousness, and how all of this can help us heal humanity's relationship with the sacred earth. So if you feel moved by the Rebel Spirit, then you know I sure hope that you do. Then please, by all means, help me in my efforts to share the good news. I'm Nick Mather, and you've been listening to or watching Rebel Spirit Radio. Until next time, may you be in peace, may you flourish in all possible ways, and may you continue to nurture your rebel spirit.